We're in this series in Kingdom Transference, and God's given us these incredible keys, how the kingdom works, how to pray to the Father, and how God takes spiritual substance and transforms it to tangible manifestation. Because you know, when you pray to the Father, if you're praying for something tangible, He doesn't have that in heaven. He has the intangible in heaven. He has spiritual blessings. He sends the invisible things, like dunamis power and His word. But those things are converted by the Holy Spirit to tangible manifestation. That's why He said, when you pray, have faith in God. And when you pray, believe you receive. And then you shall have. There's two different things. You're receiving an intangible. It's spiritually tangible. It's invisible. Since invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that were made, even His eternal dunamis power. It was the substance God created every living thing with. He created you with it. Holy Spirit employed it in creation. He employed the Word. By this we know the worlds were framed, set in order by the Word of God. So the things that are seen were not made by the things that do appear. And so the Father sends this substance, and He sends His Word, and that's what He sends. That's the good gift. He sends His Holy Spirit for the conversion of it. The Holy Spirit takes that invisible substance of everything He created the world with, and He manifests it. Your answer to your prayer. But the thing I wasn't counting on, I thought, you know, we're praying to the Father and we're getting this exchange. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know there's no sickness in heaven. We know the inheritance was received in heaven. We know our standing in heaven, and He wants all that transferred here. The thing I didn't realize is how close He was going to come. It seemed faith in the receiving received more than just what I was asking for. I received a boatload of the Father in an incredible new way. It just an overshadowing. I didn't realize He's going to come that close. I thought, well, you know, I'll receive from the Father, Holy Spirit, bring it, you know, manifest. But He's right there present with all of it. Brought Him down to dwell. Just amazing. I said, Lord, I didn't know, Father. And He goes, well, when you give gifts to your children, do you want to be present with them or do you want to be 1,000 miles away? He goes, you want to be right there in their presence? I said, of course. I wouldn't let them open it without me being there. He goes, well, why do you think I want to be 1,000 miles away from you? Do I want to be present in everything? When kingdom comes, you're getting everything. You're not just a request. You're getting Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to abide, to dwell, and to manifest His presence in your midst. In fact, the greatest men and women of God throughout history, not only did they have answered prayer, when they prayed to Father God, He answered on a national level, kingdom level, but He was with them. The mark of great men and women of God, that God was with them. He was with them. That's the thing about the kingdom of God. God wants to be with you. That's why Jesus came. He wasn't satisfied to abide in a tent next to them. In fact, He wanted to be next to them so much so in the Old Testament, He got so close to them, He came up inside of a tent. But now in the new, He came up inside your tent. He wants to be with you. His whole life is about Him wanting that. He wants to be with us more than we know. But what draws Him is faith. He loves everybody unconditional, but for you to receive all that and swim in it, you have to have faith. Faith will draw God like a magnet. Faith will break any and every barrier between you and God. Faith will access heaven too. But the thing about whatever you believe in God for, know for a certainty the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the dunamis power of heaven. Paul would pray it when he'd go to churches like Ephesus and church in the book of Colossians. He'd pray the prayers that God would strengthen, according to the riches of glory, be strengthened with all dunamis power. Because he understood, Paul understood, he was praying these prayers over the church. He understood that the lifeblood of the church, they needed the creative essence of God dwelling with them. It's an invisible substance, but it's discernible by the Spirit. It's discernible because the Word tells you it is. And when the Word brings light to it, you can receive anything that the Word will give light to. Amen. And since the light has come, more and more are accessing, seeking, and receiving, because we now know it's our inheritance to receive it. And dunamis power is the building blocks of everything you see created in the world. That and the Word of God together. Dunamis was the substance of faith. The Word was the evidence of faith. And this is how God answers your prayers. It's also how God comes down and abides with you. Amen. One thing you'll see, you stay with it, Father God's coming down. He's kind of always there, but he starts manifesting. He said, if you'll keep my word, my Father and I will come and make our abode with you. That's the manifest presence of God. Not everybody has that. They have the capacity for it, but not everybody has it. Every born-again person in the earth has the capacity for God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to make their abode, the habitation of God with them. Listen, when God is with you, nothing can stand against you. He will tread down your enemies, but to get him to be with you like that, you're never going to be good enough. If you can get that out of your mind, you might as well accept the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You might accept the fact that you are accepted in the blood, but if you think you've got to be good enough for God to come down, you never will. That doesn't draw him. Faith draws him. Faith in what Jesus said about you already. Amen. That you're the righteousness of God in Christ. That you're accepted in the Son. You're accepted in the Beloved. And then Jesus presents you faultless to the Father. You have to believe that, regardless of what you believe about yourself. Unworthiness will get you nowhere in the kingdom of God. Approaching to God said, I'm not worthy. Now, I know if you've been out of alignment for a while, you need to come and repent and all that. I get all that. But you can't live in a lifestyle and a mindset of unworthiness. Well, I'm just unworthy. You'll never receive anything because that's not what God says about you. You need to understand what God says about you. What has God said to you? I was talking to a really good friend of mine this week, and he was sharing with me what God said about the Word of God exploding. I said, well, tell me what God's saying. What is God saying to you? He's always talking about my calling. And he goes, but I can't see that right now because there's a lot of different things going on in life and I can't really see that. And I stopped and I said, listen, what God is saying to you is the absolute most important thing ever in your life. And more importantly, you standing in 100% agreement with what God is saying to you, to shift your agreement. To say, I can see that, because that's the way God sees you. And see, he's sending that word. He's causing his word to explode on the inside of you. If you pay more attention to what God's saying to you, his word will explode on the inside of you because he wants you to agree with what he's saying. He's giving you that word as the evidence of your future. It is what God builds from. God will send his word. It's the evidence of what he's going to do next in your life. And so you have to receive the evidence, hold the evidence, keep the evidence, cherish and treasure the evidence of what God has said. Amen. Turn to the book of James. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, that'd pretty much be all of us. Amen. That was funny. Ha ha. Let him ask of God. So he tells you to ask, that giveth to all men liberally. Now, here he's just saying lack wisdom, but whatever you lack in your life, you can ask of God. No matter what. And God, this is God's nature. He's going to give to you liberally. You must understand that about God. The problem is the reason why we don't understand that part of God is because a lot of times we do ask and we don't receive answers. So we adopt doctrines, well, he's withholding. I heard this lady on the radio station. Man, she was just doing great. Somebody called in. They had a prayer request. It was one of the Christian stations. She said, well, let's pray right now. And, well, she was praying healing in the name of Jesus. I said, you go. And then all of a sudden at the end of her prayer, she goes, "Now, and Father, if you've placed this sickness on her," right after this long, glorious prayer of healing to teach her, "Father, help her embrace that. Because we know that you do things like this to help us in our journey." I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, you pray for healing, and then you end with that kind of thing? It's just, you don't know God if you think like that. That's just doctrine of man. God give to every man liberally. Jesus, he sent his son. He said, "He that spared not his only son for you, how shall he not by way of him freely give you all things?" Really, that's not really the problem. The problem is we don't know how to receive what he's done. Because Jesus already inherited everything on our behalf. He has a health plan for you in heaven above. He said, "I'll take sickness from the midst of you. Surely he's borne your sicknesses and carried your pains." See, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven has no problem with things like this. Heaven knows. There is not one sick person anywhere in heaven. There's not one poor person anywhere in heaven. Nowhere. Everybody's full. Everything's glorious. Everything is whole. If you want to know God's will, Third John will tell you, "I wish above all things that you be in good health. That you prosper and be in good health. Even as your soul prospers." Prosperity of soul, prosperity of body, prosperity of finances, prosperity of home, family, and a prosperous church. Well, you're in a good church, praise the Lord. See, the prosperity and fullness is heaven's will. What happens is we pray and things don't happen, so we have to adopt certain doctrines of why it didn't happen. Well, the fact is you probably just didn't know how to get all that. You didn't have all the mysteries of how all that comes down. And because of that, it locks us up. I'm not able to receive, but right here he said he'll give to every man liberally. Liberally, say liberally. "If he spared not his only son, how shall he not by way of him freely give you all things?" 1 Corinthians says all things are yours. Say all things. The Bible says it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give it to you. So we say, okay, Father, so we read a scripture in John that says, "If you ask anything in my name, my Father will surely do it for you." So we go to him, we ask in Jesus' name, and nothing happened. Because really, if you want to know how answered prayer works, you need to take everything the Lord said about prayer, put it all together, and it's one nice, perfect image of how prayer works. But the kingdom of God, it's like any other thing, you have to learn to operate in it. We spend 5 minutes and nothing happens, so we stop. It's going to take you more than 5 minutes to learn how the kingdom operates. There's not a person in this world that has a gift that did not. Even if there's an athletic gift or music, singing, doctor, whatever. They had to give themselves, understand their trade. They had to give of themselves to learn. Amen? The same with the kingdom of God. That's why he said, we misunderstand that verse too. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you." Ever heard that? He's talking about all the things the Gentiles seek. Houses, cars, clothes, Monet. God doesn't have a problem with that. He said, "Seek first the kingdom," and all these things. So we get the idea, okay, then I'm going to seek first the kingdom, lay down my life for the kingdom. I'm going to go out on the street and witness, and you should do all that. And we do that. We do a good job at it. So we think, I'm going to lay down my life for the kingdom of God. You know, I know people who have laid down their life for the kingdom of God are broke and nothing's being added to them. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I know a lot of people that have completely laid down their life. I mean that they are serving in full-time ministry and they struggle all the time. And very little's being added to them. So maybe that wasn't saying all that. Maybe that's not what that meant. It's your definition that might be the problem. Do you know what actually he was saying? He says, listen, if you're to spend your whole life seeking what the Gentiles seek, instead, take that fervor, take that fire, take that zeal, and seek the ways of my kingdom. Seek to understand how my kingdom operates. Seek to learn how the kingdom operates. And then all those things will be added to you by the operation of my kingdom. Now you can lay your life down for the kingdom and still not understand how it operates. You can lay your life down forever and still not understand how the kingdom operates. And until you understand how the kingdom operates, you're going to keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And very little is going to happen. But when we understand how the kingdom operates, how invisible substance gets downloaded to you, and then God takes the invisible substance and makes it visible. But if you understand how that operates, that's what I tell people all the time. I say, if you're listening to anything, take these last 9 teachings and live with them. Because it's the crowning revelation of what he's been teaching about the right hand of God. And it will produce the results. Amen? But the first thing you have to realize about receiving anything from God, you've got to believe. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. You've got to know his nature. You have to know his heart. You got to know. If you're not settled about the will of God, you're going to get tapped out. You have to be settled. John says, if we ask anything in according to his will, we know that he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we'll receive. You have to settle his will, and you have to settle it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You have to settle. He wants to give it to you liberally. You have to settle the fact he so wants to give it to you. He gave his son to give it to you. But you have to understand the way he gives it to you is by faith. And you have to understand how faith works. More and more, you're going to have to exercise faith. That's like going to the gym every day. When you're doing it, you love it. When you're not, it's very hard to get into it. Same with faith. When you're doing it, you love it. Don't want to do anything else. When you're not, it's like trying to stir yourself up to go back to the gym. You don't want to do it. Once you start doing it, I mean, you get in the rhythm of it. You get in the flow of it. You're getting in the groove of it. You know what? When you're in faith, you're going to be an encounter. Joy and peace and glory and the Father. And you're going to encounter hope. Hope's going to rise in you. You're not going to walk around hopeless. You show me a person that's walking around hopeless. They've either just been majorly broken or they're not exercising anything. Because you cannot stay in a state of hopelessness if you're exercising faith. God of hope's going to bring you out. And he's going to do it by creative dunamis power. Dunamis is a Greek word. The empowerment of heaven. It's the virtue of heaven. It said, hope. Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy. Say all joy. And peace in your believing. So believing is a continual thing. That you may abound in hope through the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 15. Awesome. Amen. So to begin with, if you're going to receive from heaven, you got to make a decision that you're going to do this. Now notice what he says here. If any of you lack, will just say anything. Say whatever you lack. Then a lot of people, they adopt the policy, well, you know, I'm just going to have to work for this all my life. Hey, you know, God will give you things. Jesus inherited a whole lot of things for you. Did you know you have an inheritance? You really do. It's in a trust. And God wants to give it to you. And we got to learn how to do it. Amen. Thank God the Holy Ghost is teaching us. And we are set, focused. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. See, that's God's word. It shall be given. But, oh, probably shouldn't have put that there, huh? Let him ask in what? Ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything of the Lord. First verse, he says, God's going to give it to you. One verse later says, not let that man think he's going to get anything. I'm going to give it to you. You ain't getting nothing. I mean, all in two verses. You can have it all. Next verse, you can't have nothing. Does he say it? He said, I'll give everything to you. I'll give it to you liberally. It shall be given. Everybody say hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, you ain't getting nothing. That's full gospel. Because there's a condition. Because even when he said, he goes, ask in the name of Jesus to be given to you. My Father, I have pleasure. Your joy may be full. But everything you're going to receive from heaven require being asked by faith. Not just asked. We ask all the time. But asking in faith requires a little bit more than just asking. Because if I'm going to waver, I said this last week, I'll say it again. If I'm asking for wisdom, if all it was just my initial request and how holy I was when I asked, so I get postured properly, I get on my knees, I lift my hands. Okay, here we go. So, Father, I get on my hands. You know, you get holy. You got to get that holy thing going. You got to get that spiritual thing going. I'm on both knees now, Father. Now, Father, I've humbled myself under your mighty hand. I'm going to ask you, Father. Father, I come before you. Oh, Father, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, holy is your name, Father. I am your humble, unworthy servant. I come to ask you for whiz. And I waver between the S and the D, and I end up dumb. I wavered in the middle of my request. God said, well, not that man think he's going to receive anything. Get off your knees. Your request is the first part of it. That's why he said ask in faith. It has a whole lot more to do. Asking goes way beyond the initial request. Asking is the first part of the equation. Asking in faith means I cannot waver once I begin this thing. If I'm going to begin this thing, if I'm going to ask God and I want to receive from heaven, first I got to know he's going to freely give it to me. I got to know his will to give it to me, but I'm going to have to stand there until that thing comes to pass. And I have to agree with heaven and I'm going to make that request. But then I got to understand the process by which that request comes down from heaven. And there's going to be a process and you're going to have to stand there while that process takes place for God to answer your prayer. We're learning about that process. That's why he said ask in faith, because you're not going to get the luxury to waver, because if you do, no matter how many promises God says he'll give it to you, he also promises you'll get nothing. Oh, I know that didn't go over too well. He also says don't think that man's going to get anything, because it's going to have to be God's way. And it's going to be more than just you asking and getting on your knees. You're going to have to understand the process by way the kingdom transfers in the earth. And you're going to have to be dedicated to that until the end. If you're not, don't even begin it. Because he's telling you, you won't get it. I know that doesn't, but that's what he said. But his will is for you to have it. His will is to liberally give it to you. His will is I gave my son for you to have it. His will is it's already been settled in heaven. It's yours. I want to give it to you. But there's going to be some transferences necessary to get it from heaven to the earth. If you're praying for a car, well, you shouldn't pray for a car. Is that a little carnal? What are you going to do, walk around the rest of your life? So you can't have a donkey to ride? That's not legal in the kingdom? Would a car be a necessity in the earth? Raise your hand. Be definitely in America, a car is a necessity. So, just take a car, whatever you want to call it. Nah, that's carnal. You know, it's amazing how people think like that, but they don't. They'll go right down there and finance one in a heartbeat and pay for it for 6-7 years somewhere. And thank God he got it for me. Praise the Lord, got a good financing on it. We have a banker in here, so we got to be nice on that area. But listen, Philippians says, my God shall supply all your need. Take a family of four people, take both cars away from them, and tell me it's not a necessity. You might want to have a donkey with four legs instead of a donkey with three. Anyway, said, my God shall supply, I'm just using this as an example, all your need. All your need. According to his riches in glory. So he's going to supply you a donkey with all the donkeys in glory. So when you pray, God's going to take a donkey, he's going to send him right down. That's why you got to ask in faith, because God has no donkeys in heaven. He might have a few up in there, but they're heavenly donkeys. They are not earthly donkeys. So my God shall supply all your need according riches in glory. Bible says you bless with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's supplying out of a heavenly trust account. When Christ ascended to the right hand of God, he received everything on your behalf. There's not a problem there. In fact, he says he's going to supply your need from that place. How many of us actually get our needs supplied from there? Most of us get our needs supplied out of the systems of this world. Because we don't know how riches and glory come down. We're learning now, praise the Lord. Riches and glory. So you pray for a new donkey. God the Father is not going to send a donkey out of heaven. But he is going to send something that's going to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest that donkey for you. And that's the part you have to understand. When you ask by faith, the Father's going to immediately set your answered prayer into motion. And understanding how the kingdom works is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As soon as you ask, the Father says, yes! But you got to stay with me through the process, because I got to transfer some invisible substance to you. I got to transfer a promise to you, and in the form of my word, I got to transfer some invisible dunamis power. All these things I created the world with, and I'll manifest that donkey. He's not going to poof him out of thin air. He's going to make mammon give it up. If it's a miracle for your body, he will create it with it. If it's something tangible, he'll cause for the manifestation, though it be supernatural. And here's the key. When you stand praying, get this. So a lot of people don't get this. You need a focus. You must focus the kingdom of God. What I want everyone in this church to do is graduate from just listening to this to get something and get big. Ask for something big. Say big. I mean asking and begin the process. Ask for it in faith. Get the word of God on it. And learn how heaven operates. Because if you can receive something big from heaven, by heaven's design and heaven's way, and now the Father brings it down, guess what? You will never be limited for the rest of your life. But if you get tapped out, then every time you try this, you're going to get tapped out by the same thing. No matter what you believe God for, if you're not willing to stand there all the way through, then don't begin. Because the Bible clearly says you won't receive it anyway. And that's where all the doctrines come from. Because somebody tried to do it, didn't have enough revelation to do it, didn't have enough understanding, wasn't willing to understand how the kingdom transfers spiritual inheritance in the form of dunamis power, in the form of the evidence of the word, and it's transferred into your spirit. And from that, the Holy Spirit employs that dunamis, and he employs that word, and he manifests the kingdom of God. And that transfer is going to take faith. Faith for transfer. Faith for manifestation. Well, that's a little too much work. Yeah, well, there's some work. It's spiritual labor. No doubt about it. But here's the beauty. You start opening the kingdom of God like this. You will do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything. Father will do it through you. Anything you have ever done in this life, you will not come under the oppression of mammon. You will not come under the oppression of sickness and disease. There'll be no mountain in this life that you will not be able to move by faith through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will rise from glory to glory to glory. Because once you get one successful kingdom transaction, then the sky's the limit for you. Because you understand how the Father works now. And there's nobody's going to come with their doctrine and convince you otherwise. It's too late! I've already seen it. I'm already on my way. Or you're going to revert back to working for it all your life. And some people are so gifted that they're so blessed. But they don't realize you can be gifted and be so blessed. But God may have something to do with you that's 100 times what you present can do under your blessing. Because faith has no limitation. Because I don't really need to receive the donkey anyway. I'm receiving substance by where the Holy Spirit's going to manifest it. I'm receiving as a seed. All I got to do is receive the seed of it. And it's glorious. Amen. But listen, you got to be committed. If you're going to ask in faith, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. You need a focus. Focus on one thing. If you want to do this, how many of you want answered prayer? Raise your hand. Something big. How many of you prayed to God and it never happened? How many of you prayed for something big in your life and it never happened? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. How many of you just keep praying? That's what we do. Just keep praying. But it's not just to keep praying. It's not the answer. We have to learn how the thing works. Amen. You got to restructure your mind. It's like that lady. She prayed that, oh, Father, heal. And then, well, if it be your will, Father. God wants us to learn to receive from him. So we ask in faith. Now, this is a very important part of this. I'm more interested in us graduating right now. Because we're going to do some mighty exploits when we get together as a corporate body and start moving mountains. Because we are going to move some serious mountains. Because we have the keys to move them with. And I'm just dedicated to it, praise the Lord. But I'm more dedicated to us learning it together, amen? We're going to learn how to do this kingdom, not just come to church. If that's what you want to do, just come to church, probably the wrong church. We want to operate in the kingdom, amen? I want to see kingdom come, don't you? I mean, some of us have been at this a very long time. It shouldn't take this long. We have the understanding now how this works. So get a target. Shared this last week. Get a target. Get a target for your faith. Realize once you begin this, once you ask in faith, you have to be committed all the way to manifestation. And to keep you committed, you need to write that down. Write the vision, write the request, get scripture that supports that request. The Bible says, bind it as a sign up in your hand. Keep it in the frontlets of your eyes. Bind it to your heart. Keep it in your mouth. You got to keep that thing with you and be willing to hold that, because God's going to bring the evidence of what you asked for in the form of his word. You're going to have to hold that, because this is how heaven works. Bind it in your hand. Keep it. Hold it. Have something that you're willing to live with. I mean, put it on a piece of paper. Laminated. Get it thick laminated. That way it won't bend and get crushed. You can hold that thing and bind something in your hand that's a sign. Bind it in your hand. Hold it. Keep it. If you're not willing to do any of this, that thing's going to escape you within a week. Because after your initial desire, and after you get excited about it, now you're down to business. Everybody can get excited. Everybody can march their 10-pound Bible into the prayer calls that I'm going to receive from heaven. Some of you could receive funding for that business venture you're after. You've been trying to do it every other way, and God has a different way to do it. Maybe he brought you here to hear this. You've been trying to get funding. Somebody in here, you've been trying to get funding for a business venture, and you've been turned down, and you're so discouraged. But maybe God doesn't want to do it that way. Maybe he wants to fund you and don't want to start you out with debt. He'll open the door if you learn how this works. I really encourage you to get these teachings. They're free. If you don't like them, we'll give you your money back. Now you take that word and you got to hold it, because asking in faith, you're going to have to keep. Because after 2 weeks and nothing happens, you're just getting started. You got to keep it. You got to be willing to hold it, receive it. Receive the creative dunamis power. See, these are the substance by which heaven creates with. You got to keep that in your spirit. See, because here's the deal. If you start this and get tapped out and say, I'll go on to something else, and guess what? For the rest of your life, every time you ask for something big, you're going to go on to something else. And you're never going to learn how to truly move the mountains that keep surrounding your life year after year after year. And you live underneath the suppression of a mountain of which God called you to move by faith. And if you're not willing to move it, you're going to live under it. That ain't me. Everyone say, that ain't me. That's Texas slang for that ain't me. Not going to happen anymore. Because see, when you get tired, how many of you ever get sick and tired of being sick and tired? When you get tired of living under the same, everybody wake up and you're under the same stuff all the time. You know what I'm talking about? See, that is designed to mold you. You wake up and the same thing. Each year, same thing. You're designed, that's designed to mold you, to keep you. So you got to break out of that mold. You go try to break out and you your New Year's resolution, I'm going to break out of that mold, but you can't. I need a clover. I'm getting up there in time. The New Year's resolution, I can't. You stir yourself up, you last a month. You can't break yourself out. But using these principles and understanding God and having the habitation of God upon your life, you can break out. And that's exactly what we're going to do. But you've got to be willing to hold of it. If you don't have it written, you don't have something in your hand, you're going to let it go. It's going to escape. You're going to go into something else. And that's what we do. We end up attaching ourselves to something and attaching ourselves to something and attaching ourselves to something. We never anchored down. I want to anchor down and graduate. That's what I'm after, graduation. A successful, big, large transaction from the kingdom of heaven, spiritual substance coming down, translating, transforming into manifestation in the earth. And you're going to get the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, because you got more in store than you can believe. Because your faith, not only is going to bring that, it's Father's coming down. Glory's coming down. It's going to be the joy of your life. Then you're going to get to teach your children how to do that. And their children. Amen? But if you're going to do it, understand asking in faith is going to be a whole lot more than your initial request. You're going to have to be willing to go the distance. And if you are, not only are you going to receive that, now God has somebody that understands the kingdom. He's going to assign some very large things for you to do. Why? Because he knows you can do it. Not you, but Christ in you. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him praise. Hallelujah.